The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 20th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, A New Take on Trees Tradition. Annual Festive Fundraiser Updates Visitor Experience by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. For its 32nd year, the Baby Folds Festival of Trees is ready to bring all things new and exciting. The festival runs November 20th to 22nd at the Interstate Center, 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington. This year, when you walk into the Festival of Trees, it's an entirely brand new layout, so you're going to be met with a new experience as soon as you walk in, said Sam Guillory, Vice President of Development and Public Relations for the Baby Fold. And we're introducing some brand new special events to kick things off. Whether you're coming out here just for adults only or bringing the family, there's something special for you. This year, festivities begin Thursday evening with an exclusive gala. Guests are invited to get dressed up and enjoy a buffet dinner from Rob Dobbs Restaurant and Bar, themed cocktails, a 360 photo booth, and live entertainment. Gala ticket holders also receive free general admission tickets. Gala tickets are $120 per person or $900 for a table of eight. During the gala, guests will have the chance to win vacations valued at $5,700 and other VIP auction items, including bourbon, wine, sangria, and other high-end items. Vacation biddings will start around $300, Guillory said. Festival will be open to all guests from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday. General admission tickets for each day are $13 for adults and $7 for children. Avanti's Family Night, which is an annual tradition for the Festival of Trees, will take place from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, with tickets priced at $23 for adults and $17 for children. Award-winning children's performer Julie K. Music will be bringing a family dance party to the festival from 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday, when attendees can also enjoy family-friendly appetizers and desserts from Rob Dobbs. Tickets for the dance party are $30 for adults and $25 for kids. The holiday vendor market will also take place on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and is included with general admission. People have been coming to this festival for decades, so we want to make sure that they're still experiencing something new and interesting, Guillory said. Time after time, it's become a family tradition where you have grandparents bringing their children and grandchildren. But we want to make sure that we're balancing that nostalgia and those memories with brand new experiences as well, so that every year when you come out to the festival, it's something fun, new, and exciting to experience. Mona Ernest, who is originally from Streeter but has lived and worked in Bloomington for years, said the festival is how her family kicks off the holiday season. Husbands, friends, aunts, uncles, nieces, brother and sister-in-laws come from all throughout the state to help out, including her sister, Kate Frederick of Oswego, and Becky Harmon of Springfield. Ernest began decorating trees for the festival after meeting a woman at an antique show who was shopping for items to use for Baby Fold Christmas trees. She thought it was a great idea, and now she shops in antique stores and markets for tree items all year long. Her family will have three trees featured at the festival this year, including the themes Not a Creature Was Stirring and Girls' Night Out, which includes a bar and bar stool. "We just love doing it," Ernest said of her and her family. "They spend all year getting ready for it because they all love the opportunity to be creative," she said. "It's something that's a labor of love for a great cause," Ernest said. Another tree feature this year is Santa's Better Half, dedicated to Mrs. Claus, from the ISU Horticulture Center. Jessica Chambers, director of the Horticulture Center, Joe Tully, assistant director, Linda Ferrance, and Monica Fuller were all on deck to bring the tree to life. It was the Horticulture Center's second year donating a tree, but Ferrance said it was her fifth since she has also decorated trees with Calvary United Methodist Church's ministry. Chambers said it felt right for them to give back in this way because the community has always been so giving to them. Fuller said it was her dream to be able to decorate a tree for the baby fold. The offerings from Ernest and the ISU Horticulture Center will be just a few among the more than 80 trees featured at the festival this year, alongside more than 200 centerpieces, 200 wreaths, 100 gingerbread houses, and 600 auction items. There will be coffee, cookies, and bake shops inside the Interstate Center this weekend, too, for those who want a treat while they are perusing the Baby Fold's Winter Wonderland. "Every year we have more. Gingerbread Village is always one of our most highly anticipated attractions, and they have more gingerbread creations than they've had before. It's a wonderful way for the community to get involved," Guillory said, describing the room as a 40,000-square-foot winter wonderland. Some popular themes this year are Wicked and Wizard of Oz, Hello Kitty, and other nods to pop culture. But there are also plenty of traditional woodland trees and even a cactus-shaped tree, Guillory added. Bidding will begin online at 9 p.m. Thursday and run through closing at 8 p.m. Saturday. General admission tickets can be purchased online or at the door, but gala tickets are only available online at thebabyfold.org/festivalofTrees. And a sidebar sums it up. If you go, what? The Baby Fold's Festival of Trees. Where? The Interstate Center, 1106 Interstate Drive. When? 5 to 8 p.m. November 20th, exclusive gala. 9 to 8 p.m. November 21st to 22nd for general public. Tickets. General admission, $13 for adults, $7 for children. Avanti's Family Night, $23 for adults, $17 for children. Family Dance Party, $30 for adults, $25 for kids. Opening Gala, $120 per person, or $900 for table of eight. Phone 309-452-1170. Website thebabyfold.org/festivalofTrees. The next local story is entitled Heartland Preps Tax Levy. $40 million, an 8% hike from 2024, but tax rate to dip slightly. By Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College is planning to seek a $40 million tax levy for 2025. And while that is an increase of about 8%, officials say property owners may see their tax bills decrease slightly. Before the Board of Trustees signed off on the estimated levy Tuesday, Noah Lamb, Vice President of Finance and Administration, said the college has worked for the past 9 years to keep property tax rates steady. The 2025 levy for taxes payable in 2026 is expected to have a tax rate around $0.58265 per $100 equalized assessed valuation. That would be a decrease of approximately $0.00128 per $100 EAV from the 2024 levy. The 2025 estimated rate would mean Heartland's share of taxes on a $200,000 house, assuming no change in the house's taxable value, would be about $388.44, a decrease of 85 cents from 2024 taxes payable in 2025, LAM estimated. This is based on estimates that we are working through from a tax study and informational standpoint, LAM said. Again, we're going to be working through that in the next few weeks. The final version of the levy will come up for a public hearing and board approval at its meeting at 6 p.m. December 16th at the campus in Normal. While the levy is about $3 million higher than last year's, growth in the community college's equalized assessed value would keep the tax rate down by spreading the levy over a wider tax base. As allowed under state law, the college also factored into its levy additional property tax to bring its revenue in line with other community college districts throughout the state, LAM said. LAM said the college also routinely levies slightly more revenue than it actually expects to collect. That amount, the extension, is determined by the final calculation of the district's taxable value, legal limits on tax rates, owner's assessment appeals, and other factors. In September, Heartland adopted a balanced budget of $45.1 million for 2026. Audit delay. The board also received an update on the annual audit, which is being conducted by Whipfly LLP of Sterling. It usually is done by December, but was delayed until early next year by the October 1st to November 12th federal government shutdown, LAM said. LAM said auditors visited the campus between September 22nd and September 26th, and the college submitted more than 200 related documents for the audit this year. But the college is still waiting on the supplemental compliance documentation from the federal government. LAM said the college hopes to receive the documents sometime next month. The filing is required by colleges that receive $750,000 or more in federal dollars in the time period covered by the audit, which must be submitted to the Illinois Community College Board, LAM said. The college, as well as other schools facing the delay, have been granted an extension on the annual audit, and LAM expects to have it completed in full by January or February 2026. It's not just Heartland, he said. All of the community colleges were actually provided that guidance through ICCB to submit that extension request, and we are also again waiting on additional information to then be able to submit to the federal government, he added. Murphy Family Lodge. Additionally, the board approved naming the Murphy Family Lodge, which will be on the second floor of the south entrance of the new student center, which is currently being developed in the Workforce Development Center. Mary Jo Murphy, who has been on the Heartland Foundation board for over 4 years, said she and her husband Bill have had a great experience with Heartland and even got to see both their sons go through the college. Chris Downing, Associate Vice President for Development and Community Engagement at Heartland, said the Murphys were among the first people the college talked to about the student center, were shown the space, and ultimately became two of its earliest supporters. She saw the impact the college was having in our community as she began to learn more through her work on the foundation board, which led her family to make this donation and be involved in this way, Downing said. Steve Fast, assistant to the president and public information and communication director for the college, said in an email that the lounge is tied to the third phase of the Workforce Development Center's renovations, which have not received bids yet. The next story is entitled, Woodford County Sales Tax Income Soars, by Steve Stein. Eureka. Shoppers are flocking to Woodford County. Using sales tax revenue for the last 7 years as an economic barometer, County Treasurer Melissa Andrews reported that good news Tuesday to the County Board. Revenue from a 1% county sales tax has gone up from $360,274 to $1.26 million over 7 years. Revenue from a 1% public safety sales tax has increased from $1.90 million to $3.85 million over the same time period. The sales tax percentages haven't gone up, so that's a good indication of inflation, Andrews said. But those numbers are still good for the county. We're growing and thriving, said board member Dave Meinhold, chair of the county's finance committee. Also Tuesday, the board approved a 2025 property tax levy of $5.4 million for taxes payable in 2026, and a budget of $38.2 million for the 2025-26 fiscal year, which will begin December 1st and end November 30th, 2026. The county will have about $9.9 million in reserves to start the fiscal year. That number is expected to drop to about $9.3 million in the next year, so everyone should acknowledge that we need to spend wisely, Meinhold said. In other business, with the latest portion of the County Highway 13 project nearly complete, the county is moving on to the final portion, a 2.25 mile stretch where work is expected to start in 2027. The Illinois Department of Transportation will provide a grant to help pay for the work. Low bidder Sign Solutions of West Fargo, North Dakota, was awarded a $12,688 contract to replace about 400 road signs on several county highways as part of a 10-year cycle. The board approved a resolution for County Engineer Conrad Moore's $144,932 salary to be funded equally by motor fuel tax and federal surface transportation funds. This arrangement happens each year as long as the engineer's salary is no less than 95% of IDOT's recommended salary. A road use agreement with solar farm company TPE that includes permission for the company to use County Highway 2 from Interstate 39 to a solar farm project entrance about a mile east of Interstate 39, north of Minonk, was approved. Resolutions honoring Deb Bryman and Michael Olman were approved. Bryman is retiring as the county's zoning administrator, a position she's held since 2024. She was employed in the sheriff's office and circuit clerk's office starting in 2000 and was hired as the county zoning coordinator in 2017. Her last day of work is November 26th. Her employment will end December 31st. Kayla Underwood was appointed the county's new zoning administrator, replacing Bryman. Underwood's starting salary is $63,000. She'll take over the position December 1st. Concurrent with her appointment, Underwood was named the county's primary plat officer. Brittany Chrisman, the county's map technician, was named the alternate plat officer. Altman will step down December 1st as the County Emergency Management Agency's deputy director after 15 years in the position. Altman filled several roles in the EMA during his more than 40 years with the agency. The board approved these reappointments: Lauren Martin, Kent McCandless, Matt Smith, Craig Neal, and Jess Erkman to the 911 Emergency Telephone System Board for 3-year terms. Marshall Smith, Charlie Schlosser Jr., and John Krug to the Healthcare Committee to 3-year terms. Matt Haynes was appointed to the Germantown Hills Fire Protection District Board to finish the unexpired term of Bruce Mathis. The term expires April 30th. Haynes will serve as the board treasurer, replacing Mathis. The County Board's Conservation, Planning, and Zoning Committee will work in future meetings on regulations involving battery storage on solar farms and families wanting private cemeteries, reported Committee Chair Nick Miller. Next, we have a story from DeWitt County, headlined, Angel Blesses Clinton Groups. Three organizations to split $800,000 gift from secret donor. By Jeanette Beckett. Clinton. Three Clinton community groups are sharing $800,000 from a secret donor. We have an angel benefactor who is more interested in helping others than seeking any recognition, said Natalie Beck, Chief Executive Officer of the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. The foundation had the honor Tuesday of presenting a $100,000 check to Neighborhood Care Center, $200,000 to Encore Development Services, and $500,000 to the Clinton Community YMCA. The donor was interested in helping organizations in Clinton and DeWitt County, Beck said. She contacted the hand-picked recipients only 4 days before the event with the promise they would be receiving a donation. I couldn't tell them anything, she said. Cody Monkman, network director for the Neighborhood Care Center, accepted the donation on behalf of the organization. Neighborhood Care Center provides support to the community through various programs, including the No-Fee Warehouse Grocery Store, economic support services, counseling, and Bible studies. According to Monkman, the agency began 8 years ago. It was started with small towns in mind, he said. Neighborhood Care Center is available for families in DeWitt County and Maroa. The agency has connected with 2,000 families in the area, according to Monkman, with approximately $2.3 million given away in non-monetary goods during the past year. We've never had that much money, he said, but we use the limited funds that we have to create these environments that we then build partnerships with other groups, clubs, businesses, to then donate non-monetarily. With the $100,000 donation, Neighborhood Care Center Administration hopes to reach more people. We're going to start multiplying the dollars, Monkman said. Encore Development Services will be using the $200,000 grant to help build a wall. They have doubled our budget to get one firewall built, said Stephanie Koontz, Executive Director for Encore Development Services. According to Koontz, the agency is in the midst of refurbishing a former cattle auction building they have used for several years. And we are still in the process of working on that really big building that's got lots of issues, she said. But we are making it happen. Encore provides employment and community day services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The facility also houses a thrift store as well as a landscape business. If you're ever around the Clinton Square when it's warmer, those flowers on the square, that's us, that's these guys, Kuntz said. The Community Foundation wasn't finished. The last agency to receive a large donation was the Clinton Community YMCA, who was handed a check for $500,000. When you receive things like this at this amount, you know you're doing something right, said Rennie Kluver, executive director for the Clinton Community YMCA. Because people don't give this money to organizations that aren't building communities and making a difference. Kluver had to be reassured that Beck's phone call last week was safe. Since the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation is located in Decatur, Beck contacted Dominic Santomansino, the executive director of the Decatur Family YMCA, for an introduction. He let Rennie know I was legit, Beck said. The Clinton Community YMCA has succeeded with the help of the community since 1908, Kluver said. The Y is a charitable service organization, he said. We never want to turn anyone down. Clinton Mayor Helen Michalassi credited the three agencies and others in the community for providing support to those in need. They just give those who struggle, or those who want to get healthier, or those who need a hand up. They just lift us up a little bit higher, she said. To see them rewarded for that work is amazing. State Representative Regan Deering, Republican of Decatur, acknowledged the secret donors' contributions. In public service, I am constantly reminded that government cannot do what strong communities and faithful organizations can, she said. These grants are truly an investment in people, in hope, and in the future of both Clinton and Central Illinois. And here's an item entitled, Gridley Native Lauded for Prize Steer. Louisville. Charlie Jones of Gridley earned the highest honors last weekend at the North American International Livestock Exposition. Jones won the purple and gold banner for her award-winning steer and $20,000 in prize money during the Harold Workman Jr. Steer Show. The prizes are made possible by Farm Credit Mid-America, which is the premium sponsor of the Grand Champion Junior Market Steer, according to a news release. The event, which is the largest all-breed purebred livestock show, was held Sunday, November 16th, at the Kentucky Exposition Center in Louisville. The North American International Livestock Exposition is held annually and has showcased the nation's best livestock and the dedication of producers and exhibitors shaping the future of agriculture, according to the release. The event features 1.2 million square feet of livestock competitions alongside live entertainment at the North American Championship Rodeo presented by Rural First, The Hitching Post, and Shopping Destination at the North American County Store. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 20th. Please stay tuned.